Okay, it is about time to start. I appreciate you being here. Obviously, the number is way down. We're getting all sorts of texts and emails from members about sicknesses and that sort of thing. So I think this is going to be expected for the next couple of weeks. Puts a little bit of a challenge on me because I would like for everyone to stay at the same place with our study. But I feel like we may have to do a little bit of catch up from week to week, but we'll try to keep that to a minimum. Hopefully you saw an email this last week from me about the class. My goal as the one that stands up here in front is to assist you in your studies, to somewhat of a facilitator, teacher, but I want to simplify some things, I want to supplement some things, and certainly clarify some things as well. And so a reminder to each of you, we will not read every verse in these lessons. We will not read every word in these lessons. We just don't have the time for that. So I very much would appreciate it if you would do your own personal study and keep up with the class. Some of you have made comments this week, which I very much appreciate. Some of the comments, interesting. I used to be afraid of coming to class, but then I finally realized class is not something to be feared or something to be afraid of. Right, Mandy? Isn't that what you said or something like that? Okay. Which I think is admirable and very mature, because this class, as all of our classes are intended for one reason, and that's to learn. We're here to learn. So even though it's a Bible study, a very basic study, I believe there are things that we can learn each and every time that we study something. Brendan, could I get you to do me a favor? Grab a couple of these and take them back to Karina and Sydney. Get a couple copies for that, please. Thank you. And then if you see other people come in, I'll let you know.
Because I'm going to take one of the boxes and sit over my seat.
I'm sorry?
I'm going to take one of the boxes and sit over my seat.
No. No, because I've got to kind of manage them. Those are empties.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. Take those two. Thank you. Okay. Another comment was, lots of great comments. And my challenge is how much information to share, how much information to go into without repeating and getting too basic into some of this stuff as well. Let me begin with a thought question. Moses began the book of Genesis by saying, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And we'll talk more about this in a little while, in a few lessons, but I believe Moses wrote the book of Genesis for the Israelites. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What did Moses presume in writing that first verse? And don't overcomplicate this. What did he presume? Five words or less. Kelly?
God was in the beginning.
God was in the beginning, yes. Something else he presumed. And I'm thinking more about the reader. Pardon me? They knew who God was. Notice that the Bible did not begin by saying, we need to talk about God. No, we didn't need to talk about God. We need to talk about creation, which is related to God, okay? So that's how the Bible began. It's also how this survey starts. This survey is not intended as a tool to help convert somebody. Yeah, there's some information within it that is, I think, very helpful. But please, please, don't assume it's a conversion-written document, because it's not. It starts with a premise that God is. Now, once we accept that God is, now we can use the material, okay? Now we can use it, all right? Now, that's the first thought question. The next thought question is this. How do you know what's on somebody's mind? Cody, how do you know what's on mom's mind? What she says, okay? Or yeah, you can read body language. You know, she knows. He knows if she's upset, right? Okay. But primarily, we know by based on what we hear, what somebody is saying. Joel just finished a class on marriage, home, family, husband, wife, whatever you want to call it. Remember what the primary challenge to a couple was? What? Communication, okay? And those couples that seem to be better suited in marriage are those that tend to communicate better, okay? And over time, guess what? Husbands and wives start to be able to predict what each other would say, right? Some of us have been married longer. Don't you start to say something and your mate says, oh yeah, I would, and they're on the same page. Well, that's because you've spent so much time together. How do we know what's on God's mind? How do we know what's on God's mind? Pardon me? He tells us. Now, Romans 1:20 says this. You go outside and you just look around. Let's assume for a minute you've never even heard of what a Bibli is. A Bible, a Bibli, whatever you want to call it, okay? Don't even have an idea that there is such a book called the Bible, okay? And you walk outside and you look around, what do you know by just looking around? Romans 1:20, what do you know? Now come on, you know this, you know the answer to this question. You know that there's a creator who has what? He has power and he is. And the creator is, excuse me, I shouldn't put masculine and feminine. We don't know anything about this creator. We know that there is something out there who has the ability to create. And so that being has power. Right? Right? Yeah, we all get that, okay? All right. 1 Corinthians tells us, in order for us to know what's on his mind, he has to finish the sentence. In order for us to know what's on God's mind, he has to tell us. Okay, if you look outside and you see that there must be a creator, and that creator has power, and that creator is divine, what else do you know about it? What else do you know about that creator? This is a trick question. So Greg, be very careful with this. What else do you know, Maria?
He is an intelligent being.
Must be, right? Very good answer. What else do you know? Short answer. Kelly?
I would say he cares for us.
Pardon me?
That he cares for us.
Well, no, you don't know that from the scripture. No, you don't. I challenge that statement. What else do you know about him? About the creator, excuse me. And I'll explain why I say that in a minute. Maybe. Okay, Jack says we know he's eternal. Okay. Some believe that the creator created and then kind of has gone on his own way.
Order and intention.
I'm sorry, Chris.
Order and intention to be created.
Okay, there's design, there's order, there's intention. Okay. Yes, yes, ma'am.
I see beauty.
Okay, beauty. Okay. Now, a lot of these are very good answers, okay? But you know what the real answer is? What else do we know about the creator other than the fact that there's something out there and it created and it has power? The answer is nothing. Nothing. Give them two copies, please. Okay? They know nothing. What do you know about Jesus by looking at the creation? Nothing. So please, let's we have to start at the same place. At this point, you've not gone to the Bible for anything, okay? Now, we're going to go to the Bible, but we're going to start with the idea that there is something out there, and that something has communicated to us. Otherwise, the survey is useless. Quit wasting your time. Quit wasting your time being here. Quit wasting your time with the Bible and start studying this book called the Bible. If you don't accept from the get-go that there is a God and that God has communicated to you and me. Now, Crystal's going to read a verse for us. Hebrews, the first chapter, the first two verses. This is sort of my summary verse for the first lesson, page 2. If I had to give one verse, and it's not even in the material, So this is one of those supplemental pieces I want to give you as the teacher. But this kind of sums up a lot that's said in this lesson, okay? So Crystal, would you read real loud, please, from back there, okay? Paraphrase that. What is God telling us? What does Scripture tell us in those two verses? Paraphrase. Short. Gotta be short and sweet. It can't be a 5-minute discussion. How would you summarize those two verses? Joel, any ideas?
God reveals himself to man basically how he wants.
Absolutely. He does, in fact, communicate to man. And how does he do that?
His son?
Differently. Okay, welcome to Bible Survey Lesson Number 1. And now we are on page 2. Because the first thing we need to talk about is the fact that in order for us to fully appreciate the Bible, we have to understand this concept called dispensation. Now, if somebody stopped you on the street and asked you, what does dispensation mean, what are you likely to answer? What might be your answer? Don't look at the page for the answer. I'm saying what a typical person might use as an answer to that question. What is a dispensation? What is it related to? Pardon me? Well, that's the correct answer.
A period of time.
A period of time. Thank you, Marie. People usually think of dispensation as a period of time. Right? That's not how the Bible looks at it. Yeah, there are some aspects of this that clearly are parts of time. But the real answer, the more correct answer from a Bible standpoint, is dispensation means how God reveals. So back to the Hebrews passage that we studied a moment ago. How has God revealed his will? How? Pardon me? In various ways. Yeah, that's exactly right. But what are those various ways? What did the book of Hebrews tell us? Sometimes prophets. Sometimes prophets. How else? Right?
In the beginning, it was through the head of the household.
Okay. Well, she just introduced a subject that we're going to see very quickly here, that God began his revealing, his revelation, to heads of households. What do we call that dispensation?
Patriarchal.
Why? Because patriarch, that's the term. That's right. And yes, you'll find that term in the Bible. Patriarchs. Okay, so we have to be careful because you're not going to turn to an exact verse and give all this information, right? You have to find it in different places. But it helps us to understand that the Bible talks about different manners in which God reveals at different times. Now think about this. If you don't have an understanding of this to begin with, you can get into trouble with someone that you might be studying with. For instance, let's say you start studying with somebody and they immediately think, well, God speaks to me like he did Father Abraham. Karina, you believe in Father Abraham, don't you? And she shakes her head, yes, okay, good. Therefore, now you're on board with me because you just agreed that God speaks to me because he spoke to Abraham. And now, wait a minute, now you're saying, whoa, that's not what Karina was saying. That's right, that's not what she was saying. Okay, so back to page 2. The Bible uses terms that talk about how God administers, how God delivers, how he does things. It's true, God does not change. Malachi tells us that. God does not change. But the manner in which he deals with man does, in fact, change throughout the Bible. Now, I want to mention, look at almost two-thirds down the page, okay? Two-thirds down the page, page 2. Notice there's a paragraph there that starts with, it refers to. Let's read that together. It refers to the religious system by which God dispenses. Now, that's a term that we can remember. We don't think about the word dispensation. So don't think about that word. Think about dispenses, supply chain. Guess what? We're having problems nowadays with things not being on the shelves. You know why? Because somewhere, someone in the sequence of events is not dispensing their piece of supply chain. And so ultimately, that article or that service doesn't get to where it needs to be got. That's terrible grammar. Okay. God dispenses. Back to the paragraph. It refers to the religious system by which God dispenses his blessings or curses. He is the master of the house. He is the master of the house. He determines how he will manage. Now let's get entirely brutal. Why does God do things the way God does? Why?
Because he wants to.
Because he wants to, thank you. Because he's God. You know what? Even in our, okay, this is political. I'm going into plural, but political reasons. No, I'm not going there for political reasons. Even people that we know that have been in presidencies and other things like that, representative senators, are sometimes asked, why did you do something? And what was their answer? Because I wanted to or because I can. And you know what? The bottom line is, why does God do things the way he does? It's because he didn't ask you and me. It doesn't really matter whether you like it or not. It doesn't really matter about you and me. This is God we're talking about. He chose to talk to fathers. He chose to talk to the Israelites. He chose to work through his son, God, who became flesh, came to save us. That was his plan. You and I had absolutely nothing to do with it. Now, you say, wow, why are you being so direct? Because I think we have to remember throughout all of this, this has very little to do with you and me. Now, we are wonderful beneficiaries of everything God's done. Don't get me wrong. But we were not a part of any of this. Back to page 2. So, there's a few verses in Luke 16. There's some definitions. What I want you to take away is the fact that God dispenses differently throughout the Bible. Okay? That's the first term we have to come to grips with. The second term is covenant. What is a covenant? Do we use that term today? Do we ever use that term today? Yeah. And typically, where do you hear it? Pardon me? Oh, well, wow, you know what's on his mind. Okay, so Andrew's thinking about his wedding that's coming up in a few months, and he's thinking about covenant. Okay, and thank you, because that's an excellent answer. It's not the answer I was thinking of, okay? He deserves a gold star for that, Haley. Okay. Oftentimes we think of covenants and contractual type stuff, and marriage is a contract as well. Covenants as far as public covenants about with your HOA, what you can do and what you can't do in your neighborhood, right? So the term does come up, but we don't use it each and every day unless you're in the type of work that talks about contracting and monies and that sort of thing. In the Bible, covenant is an agreement, for the most part, between two entities. And obviously we're interested in what God's covenant is with man. Because that's what the Bible really is talking about, is I'm God. You assume that I have the right to make these expectations of you. I will tell you why you're here. I will tell you where you came from, why you're here, and where you're going. And I will tell you the rules. And they're called covenants. Okay, so that's page 2. Are there any questions about page 2? Now, okay, page 3 is our first chart. It's a very simple chart, but it's got a lot of good information in there. You notice at the top, there are 3 subcategories. We've already mentioned patriarchal, we've mentioned Jewish, and we've mentioned Christian. Now, timelines right, go from left to right for the most part. So this would explain primarily the timeline of the Bible. Primarily. So we have patriarchal, and if you're taking notes, patriarchal starts somewhere around 4000 BC and goes to 1500 BC. Okay? So do the math. How long is that? 4000 to 1500? 2500 years. Okay? That's the first section. And then you have the next section which starts around 1500 and goes to zero. So that'd be 1500 years. And then you have the last section which starts around zero and goes to today. Now, you said, Rod, you said they're not sequential. And that's exactly right. Here's why I can say that. Which of those three dispensations did David live in? King David. Which of those three? Was he a patriarch? Was he a Jew? Or was he a New Testament Christian? Which was he? He was okay. Now, as you see, Joel's exactly right. So the other answer. He lived in the time frame. He lived within the Jewish nation. So God is administering laws and covenants and all that sort of thing to His people through who primarily in that middle dispensation? Who was his primary spokesperson? Come on, folks. Moses. Okay. Moses was the primary spokesperson. But during that same period, God reaches out to David, King David, and he says, I'm going to make a covenant with you, an everlasting covenant. And to make things a little bit messier, the New Testament even calls David a patriarch. Well, the New Testament must have been misunderstood, right? They must not have seen the Bible circle stuff, right? And so they haven't got this all right yet. No, that's not what it means. What it means is God can choose at any time to visit with anybody and work with them. So sometimes it's patriarchs, and sometimes it's a nation, aka the Jews. And then later it's Jesus, the Son of God, okay? So be careful that you don't try to force fit this to where this was first, this was second, and this was third. Okay? Now there is some truth to that. Because at the time of the third, did God begin to talk to heads of families? At the time of Christ, beginning the third dispensation, did God continue to talk to heads of families?
Yes.
Is that it? Good point. Maria reminded us, okay, he reached out at certain times with visions and discussions with, how about Joseph, the father of Jesus? Touche. Okay, but for the most part, to deliver religious direction, it stopped, okay? But she's on her game. She must study her Bible. Okay, and in the Jewish system, we know, came to an end, we're going to look at some verses in just a minute, it came to an end as the third dispensation began, okay? Questions so far? Kelly?
I was going to ask, when did the third dispensation start?
When did the third one start? Okay, and that's a great question because, okay, we could get into the fine details and say, well, did it start at the cross, or did it start, 40, 50 days later at Pentecost? Okay, and for the survey, we're not going to worry about that. Oh, guess what? I started the first dispensation at 4000 B.C. Some people have said it's actually 4004 B.C. We're not going to worry about those kind of details, but those are very valid questions. And there's a time and place to get into those details. But we're trying from a bird's eye view, from a high level view, trying to make sure we know how it fits, okay? Oh, by the way, here's one for you. What are the two major distinctions? What are the two major sections of the Bible? This is a trick question. Get ready. What's your answer?
Old Testament and New Testament.
Okay, now Marie and I read, because she missed this one, okay? Old Testament and New Testament, right? I say it's Genesis 1 and 2 is the first section. Genesis 3 to the end of Revelation is the next section. And you know why I say that? Because in the first two chapters of the Bible, you have God and man totally aligned and reconciled. And the rest of the Bible, you have God trying to bring man back to him. Okay, now you say, okay, Rod, come on, that's trivial. Yeah, of course that's trivial. And I don't want you to lose sight of the fact that it's the Old Testament and the New Testament. But there are aspects of this that we study and we think about, and rightfully so, the deeper we want to get into our study, okay? So, back on page 2, notice you have Mount Sinai. That was kind of a significant point in time, because that's when, what happened at Sinai? Pardon me? The law was given. What is represented by the Jewish or Mosaical was given at that place. And of course, it was given later too because of the problems that we know about. All right? By the way, some of you are already studying with friends and neighbors using this material. Fantastic. Don't assume that they understand all these background stories that you and I take for granted. Okay? They're not going to know automatically what happened at Mount Sinai, okay? We have to take them to Exodus 19. We have to talk about that some. I want you to turn to Hebrews 7. We're going to read verses 7 to 12. I need a volunteer, someone that can speak. Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, I think one thing that is makes people understand the idea of dispensations better is that really the picture of dispensation didn't last forever. It lasted 4,000 years. And so if you just think about the fact that the majority of people on earth were under the patriarchal dispensation up until the time of Christ, it was only this very small nation that operated any differently than God talked about. And people don't think about that because they just go, well, what about Bob the Amalekite that was living in, 700 BC and teaching laws? No. God was still dealing with the rest of the world the same way. We just don't read a lot about it. We have tangential points that we see it. And I think that helps people understand why dispensations aren't just about time.
So that's an excellent clarification and a great segue, because, okay, let's talk about that for a moment. What Joel just said is when we go through the Bible, we see God's message, his dispensing primarily to a Jewish nation. That's just the nation he chose. But do we have any other information about any other nations? Yeah, well, there's a lot. We get snippets. We have prophets that prophesy about places. Kelly just mentioned Nineveh. Remember, Jonah, he goes and preaches. Guess what happened to Nineveh? They repent. Okay, interesting. That's not a Jewish nation. That's a pagan nation. Well, I call them pagan. They're not Jews, okay? But apparently they knew enough of God to respond to the preaching, and God was pleased with that, okay? What's an individual that you think about in the Old Testament who had leprosy okay, so was he a Jew? Was Naaman a Jew? No, he was of what nation? Syrian, okay? Neighbors of Jews. Yeah, we do hear and read and learn about things going on around there. But don't you want to know more about all of the nations and how God dealt with them exactly? Don't you want to know? Well, get over it. Because God chose, seriously, God chose to not talk about that. I guess we could have had a book that was, 1,000 books long instead of 66, and you could have had many, many, many books about all the other nations. He chose to focus on the Jewish nation, okay? So that's why I wanted to start there. So we have a level place that, oh yeah, this is how he dispensed. So, all right. So back to page 2, Hebrews 7. Someone that has a loud voice, please, read out, please.
7 through what?
12, I think it is, sir. Through 12.
Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here is the one who will receive
Where were you reading from, Jeff?
Hebrews 7.
I'm sorry, I may have misspoke. Hebrews 8. That actually, there's enough connection to what he just was talking about that we could have used that verse. But we're not going to. We're going to go jump one chapter later, okay? Jeff, if you read chapter 8, I'm sorry, I misspoke. Chapter 8, please, beginning in verse 7 to 12. Biggest differences, So there's a passage, a New Testament passage, that used the word covenant. God wanted to establish covenant. And this is a new covenant, which is different than, if there's a new, then there is also what? An old. But one of the major differences in this new covenant and the old covenant is in the new covenant, you're not going to have to explain to everybody what it's all about. You know why? Have you ever thought about that? How did a Jew enter into a covenant with God? Pardon me? Birth. Michael back there is a Jew now, living 2,100 years ago. He is raised in a city of Jerusalem, and he is Jewish by birth. And he doesn't know the first thing about that. Yeah. Now, hopefully he's taught, right? Hopefully. But in this new covenant, guess what? Everyone that's in this new covenant knows what? What do they? They know God. That's a major distinction, folks. You are a member of the new covenant. You're part of this latest dispensation. You're a Christian because you what? Don't you just love trying to have my mind thinking, what is Rod saying? Because you've chosen. If you haven't chosen to obey God through the covenant and the instructions that God gives you in this latest dispensation, then you're not in it. Well, yeah, you are because you're living in this same time frame, right? But you don't have that relationship. That distinguishes you and me much differently from a Jew under the Mosaic law. Next page, please. Page 3. By the way, there's also another verse in the middle of that page. It's simply a reference from Moses in the book of Deuteronomy where he refers back to the fathers. Moses got it. Moses understood that God oftentimes talked to fathers, patriarchs. Look at the top of page 4. Here are some names of some men that we would call patriarchs. You know why we call them that? Why do we call them that? Pardon me? Well, they are patriarchs because they're head of the family. But why would we call them biblical patriarchs? Look at the paragraph. They're called patriarchs in the New Testament. Look at these examples, top of page 4. Is Abraham called a patriarch? Yeah, and you know why you know that? Because Hebrews tells you that. And by the way, you know why Jeff could read from one chapter and then read from another chapter why they were so fitting? It's because, I mean, that's what the book of Hebrews is about, right? It's the whole explanation, clarification of that old law versus the new law, why things are better with Jesus. We'll talk more about that later. So it's kind of hard to miss that throughout the book of Hebrews. But throughout Hebrews are a lot of smaller details. One of them is Abraham is called a patriarch in chapter 7 and verse 4. Jacob is called a patriarch in the book of Acts. Well, they must have missed it, right? They must have. Why would you call him a patriarch? I mean, after all, who called Jacob a patriarch in Acts 7? Who called him that? Who was the gospel teacher in Acts the 7th chapter? Stephen. Okay. And we know that God was pleased with Stephen because at the end of that passage, in that chapter, he's stoned. And as he's stoned, passages like this bother me. As he's being stoned, he looked up to heaven. Did he have the acceptance of God at that time? Did he have the acceptance? Of course he did. Read your Bible. Look at the last couple of verses of chapter 7. So, I'm going to assume he got it right. Okay? And notice also in the same paragraph, David is a patriarch. Okay? And then, again, that's the explanation of why this isn't totally sequential. And so you might want to make some notes on page 3. And you might want to, you know, patriarchal, as Joel mentioned a moment ago, in some ways, in many ways, goes up to the time of Christ. And in fact, that covers what Maria said also. Because we understand that Joseph, the father of Jesus, was still under the old law, as Jesus was under the old law until the cross, some 30 years later. So, again, we're not worried about those details, but those details do help. Those details very much help. Okay, back to page 4. Now, notice patriarchal dispensation. Here's some more examples. Noah. We know the story of Noah. What did God promise Noah after the flood? What was his covenant with God, with Noah? Summarize. Paraphrase. What did he say? I won't destroy the earth again through waters. That's a covenant. And so Noah nodded his head yes, right? Said, okay, I agree. That's a good covenant, right? Right?
Yes.
No, he did not. God didn't ask for Noah's input. God didn't ask for Noah's input. God said, this is what I'm going to do. So not all covenants are in agreement. Now, a lot of the covenants in the Old Testament are conditional, which means God says, Jennifer, if you do this, I'll do this. And oh, by the way, David, if you don't do this, I won't do this. Okay? And not this one. The covenant that God established with Noah, senior man, Noah is really a covenant he made with all of us. And you know how we know that? The text says that, but how else do you know it? It's still in effect. Kelly said it's still in effect. You look up some document that says, oh, by the way, this is still in effect? Because you can see the rainbow. Folks, Bible study is pretty plain and straightforward. And we just give it some thought. When Gray walks outside and says, hey, Mom, hey, Dad, look at the rainbow. Opportunity for Mom and Dad to explain. You know when God put that in place? He put that in place years ago. Things were so bad that he had to destroy everything. But he'll never do that again. Not with water. He's made other covenants, though, about the end of time, right? Other covenants with man. He said, I will destroy the earth. Not with water, but with what? With fire. Okay?
All right. So we're back to page 4. So Noah's is one example. We have, what is the threefold covenant?
1 minute, Mike? Oh, your watch must be wrong. What's the threefold promise? When Abram first comes on the scene in Genesis 12, what's the first thing God promises? Three things. I'm sorry? Okay. There's three promises. There's a nation, which is the father of many people. There's a land.
Great.
And then there's also a promise of the Son, right? Jesus the Son, who represents the seed in which all nations of the earth would be blessed. Again, did God ask Abraham his input? No, he did not. He did not. He said, this is what I'm going to do. Now, there are some conditional things along the way. Okay. Oh, me. See, there is just no way we're going to cover all this material in class. Let me know if there's something in a class that concerns you or questions, something like that. Just, you know, pick up the phone, call me, text me, email, whatever. I'll be happy to talk about it. And if there's one of the questions down the left-hand or right-hand side of the page that I can't find this answer, you'll probably find it in a few pages. Okay? I believe every question is answered somewhere in the material. But if it's frustrating, you can't find it yet, we'll give you a shout. I'll be happy to. This is not a test to get into heaven. You don't have to answer these much questions to get into heaven, okay? Let's be entirely frank here, okay? I think it's good that you know them, because if you know them, you're probably going to be a pretty good Bible student, and you certainly want to talk about many of these things with your children, okay? All right, any final comments? Everybody okay? Okay, now you see Rod Stiles, how I teach. And Sean back there is saying, oh my, I have nothing to worry about. Okay, so, all right, thank you so much. We'll see you next time. We'll spend a little study lesson two. Go study lesson number two, please. But we may spend a little time in lesson one.